It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
It's quitting time on your Tuesday. Here on The Drive, got Marcus Young, who is in with your Top 5 at 5. Marcus, take it away, my man.
Thank you, Bear. At number 1, we at least know what's going to be happening with Jimmy Callaway for the Tennessee football game, as the receiver will be suspended for the first half of Florida. Kind of makes you wonder. We talked about it a little bit. I like the idea of moving Hyatt to the outside if Tillman's not there, and maybe putting Squirrel White in the middle.
Nah, but what they're going to do is they're going to take whoever's been slotted behind Tillman. If he can't go, I would imagine whoever's been behind him taking all the practice reps for that position will be who steps on the field. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's Ramel Keaton.
Well, we will at least not see Callaway until the second half of the game. Might get him a few
reps.
That's
just from the basic rule standpoint. Has Heupel said anything at all? I mean, is there going to be any?
Well, after the game, they talked about he said that.
Well, I mean, I get all that, but if they said anything about any additional punishment above and beyond,
not that
quote unquote normal rules of the game. So
no, and I don't think Callaway is this kind of player. I think they know that. So I don't suspect to see anything further from that. At number 2, didn't expect to get back into Pac-12 talk, but Pac-12 commissioner says he doesn't expect any more teams to leave for the Big 10 or the Big 12.
Why would they?
Yeah, well, obviously with them now dropping down to 10 teams after USC and UCLA announced in June that they were leaving, there's a lot of questions about specifically schools like Washington and Oregon.
Well,
could potentially leave afterwards.
Yeah, I really wonder, had the expansion thing been approved before they went to the Big Ten, if they would have left the Pac-12.
Right. Well, that's even what the Pac-12 commissioner said. Quote, listen, I think if schools would have left for the Big Ten, they would have left for the Big Ten already. Also, I'm very focused on things that are in my control. So, I know we talked about this throughout the summer. I'm just ready to figure out what's going to change completely, because it's not going to be the Power 5 anymore here shortly. At number 3, Los Angeles Dodgers great Maury Wills, NL MVP in 1962, unfortunately passed away at the age of 89.
Who?
Maury Wills, Wills. Oh. I just thought I'd point out he had a 14-year career. He batted a .281 with 2,134 hits, 586 stolen bases, and 1,942 games. He broke Ty Cobb's single-season record for stolen bases with his 97th swipe on September 23rd, 1962.
Rest in peace, Mr. Wills.
At number 4, some of the first-year eligible players for the Pro Football Hall of Fame have been announced.
Mm.
Players that include Joe Thomas and Ja'Ari Evans on the offensive line. You got Darrell Revis. You've got Dwight Freeney.
Probably should make it.
James Harrison and Navarro Bowman at linebacker.
I don't know too much about Navarro. James Harrison, I feel like, would be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I agree. Cam Chancellor, defensive back. Punter Shane Lechler.
Leckler.
Huh? And then finally, our very own running back Chris Johnson. You think CJ2K gets an opportunity?
No.
I mean, he's one of the few players to hit 2,000 yards.
If Jamal Lewis is not in the Hall of Fame, Chris Johnson definitely is not in the Hall of Fame.
I can agree with that. Hopefully, maybe down the road, he might have an opportunity.
Who? Chris Johnson?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously, I'd rather have Jamal Lewis, obviously, to me,
I'm surprised he even got – I'm a little surprised he got nominated.
Yeah, I don't know how they nominate that, actually.
I don't feel like Chris Johnson had a – he doesn't scream Hall of Fame. He was a great running back when his career was kind of short, and he doesn't have any rings. I mean, Jamal came within just a whisper of breaking that Dickerson's record. He's got a Super Bowl ring and performed at an incredibly high level for a lot of years. So, weird.
It's interesting how they do it. They start with 25 and they slowly break it down. So, players who got cut from the list last year will have an opportunity as well this year. And finally, at number five, a trail of slime leads German customs to find bags of giant snails.
What?
German customs officials say that a trail of slime led him to a stash of almost 100 giant African land snails.
How big are these things?
That's a good question.
How did the slime get outside of whatever bag they were being carried around in?
You know, that could have just been dripping. Maybe it was like a burlap sack. I'm trying to find African snails to find out how large they are.
I mean, got a lot of questions about this story.
Well, so they found other items hidden inside the bags at the Dusseldorf airport this month. In a statement Friday, authorities said officials stumbled over one of the snails on a baggage truck and initially thought it was a toy until it started moving. By following the trail left by the 20-centimeter or 8-inch snail, there we go, they found a bag with a hole with other snails already peeping out of the bag, making a dash for freedom, if you will. They found officially 6 bags containing 93 of these snails.
God, that's a lot of... my boy Christopher Gabriel just sent me a picture of one. These things are massive.
Yeah.
They had 96 of these damn things?
According to this, 93, which a total of weight was 62 pounds.
Ugh. I think why was he smuggling?
Oh, no, I lied. 62 pounds. They also had snails, 62 pounds worth of fish. So I just skipped over the comma there, apparently. And a suitcase also full of rotting meat. They don't have any understanding of why these were being transported from Nigeria.
Yeah, that's...
But good news is the snails were handled to an animal rescue service in Dusseldorf. So the snails are safe. I know you worry about the protection of animals, Bear.
Yeah, it's just... That's weird. People fly with all kinds of weird stuff. Well, thank you, Marcus. That was a top five at five. Kind of a strange ending to it, but...
You always have to have a slight question mark on how to end.
Yeah.
Customs always, like you said, people always like to smuggle in weird stuff, and it feels like it's getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah, nothing will top the guy that had snakes down his pants. All right, well, enough of that. Let's get back to these busy, busy phone lines where we have His Honor himself, the mayor of Sono. Philly, how are you doing, sir?
Well, sorry, Bear.
Not a lot, man. Tuesday of Florida week, just kind of got that undercurrent of nervousness and anxiety. Yep.
How's Marcus doing?
Not bad. Marcus?
I'm surviving. Getting ready. You know, as each day gets closer, I feel like I'm going to just go through the roller coasters of Florida week. So, you know, today I feel pretty good. Tomorrow I might be a little worried.
Well, I enjoyed UNW's Oler segment last hour, crying in your beer is kind of cool.
Now, Phil,
listen, I've come to understand that in the state of Tennessee, I can only have one football team to do well. And you know what? I'll take the Vols. So,
well, there you are, getting smarter in your young age. You know.
Well, you know, I've got to pick one.
All lies to you. They look, their run's over now, even though they never did anything. It's even more funny.
Well, you know, it's hard in the NFL to say, like, they definitely missed their window. Their best chance was 2019, really. They just haven't really done what was necessary to continue the success around Derrick Henry. Especially this last offseason, when you decide to move on from AJ, when the contract talks fell apart, you didn't really try to replace that. I mean, Treylon Burks could end up being really good. I could be wrong about him. But Robert Woods, you traded for him, and he's not really been seen that much on the field. You really didn't revamp your offensive line after deciding to move on from Roger Saffold. So it, like you said, it feels like a slow deterioration after what was probably one of my favorite seasons to be a Titans fan, watching them knock off the Patriots, knock off the Ravens, try to see what they could do against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Let's get talking about the UT Florida game now. Burr, we've seen a lot of pain over the years from these Gators.
Yeah. That's why I'm, you know, I don't know what to think about this year's edition. I've seen this Tennessee, you know, going all the way back to the 90s, Phil, where we had on paper, on the field, by any measure, we had the better team.
Yeah.
Only to get, you know, now those 90s Florida teams were stacked with NFL players too, but, you know, I mean, damn, Treon Harris beat us.
Yeah, but the one thing that they've always had better than us, they've always had better coaching than Tennessee.
And we're going to find out Saturday
night. Even when they're mediocre, they had better coaches than what we had, because we had mediocre coaches too. Especially in the last, 10 to 12 years?
Oh, yeah. Probably since Dooley, for sure. Dooley, Butch, and Big Germ. 100%.
And I do, you had a caller called in, I can't remember, was it Trey, talking about the importance of winning this game, and I think it's very important. I remember Christopher Gabriel talking about how important it is. This will put you on track. You win this game, you're looking at a possible top 10 finish this year. You lose this game, you're looking at, you'll be lucky to be in the top 20 at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, if you win this, the sky's the limit. You lose this one,
yeah,
we're going to have to play really good to match last year or maybe hit, you know, 8-4 instead of 7-5.
I mean, LSU looks like going to be a difficult game.
They look very, very vulnerable right now, LSU does to me.
Look vulnerable.
LSU?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're vulnerable. I think we can go in there
and
beat them.
Yeah, I mean, we can beat them, but, I mean, they still got enough talent to beat us. I mean, everybody's saying we're just going to go down and walk down there
No, I haven't heard anybody say that. I mean, it's still going to be a tough game, but I think just as far as the past few years, this is the weakest they've been in years. I've never seen them with an offensive line that was there. It's been a long time since I saw an O-line that, down there, that is what they've got right now. So,
well, they got a quarterback and run. He's not too good of a thrower, but those type these running quarterbacks are giving us fits. But
they always have.
We've seen... Do what?
I said they always have running quarterbacks for whatever reason. I mean, historically speaking.
But the positive is Richardson is not Matt Corral.
No, I mean, he definitely can't throw as good as Corral. I think he's probably faster. The only thing that worries me is him getting out, breaking contain, and getting out in the open field. And just running wild on us like Corral did. I mean, that's basically how Ole Miss beat us last year. It was just Corral's legs.
Yeah, but Ole Miss had some good receivers, and we had to bear down on them. I don't know if Florida's got the same type of receivers that Ole Miss had last year. Florida's probably another year away from having a real good receiving core.
Yeah. I mean, I'd feel a lot more confident today if we knew what Cedric Tillman's status is.
Yeah, well, that's a big –
But I don't think
the question mark.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to find that out until 3:30 on Saturday. That's just the way things are.
And then Florida's best defensive player is probably not going to play. They're watching middle linebacker.
Yes. And Grant, we had Graham Hall on yesterday, and he basically said he answered 6-year senior middle linebacker.
That was Ventrell Miller, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was talking about he doesn't sound like he's going to be playing in that game. You know, another funny thing, too, I don't know. Did you watch any of Florida's games? Did you see that big guy, Philly number 21?
No, I didn't.
He's like a D lineman.
Oh, the kid that weighs 415 pounds?
Yeah, he weighs way too much. That guy that's going to be faking a lot of injuries.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the guy that flops.
Huh.
So.
Well, yeah, we'll probably see plenty of that Saturday. Y'all talking about Callaway, is that his name, receiver at Tennessee?
Yeah,
I don't
Jimmy.
Think he deserves any extra punishment. I mean, what happened to when the guy sucker punched Focus in the SC tournament? I don't think he had, one game suspension for doing that? And what Callaway did was nothing compared to what
and
one game suspension.
He broke John's – it was his depression fracture, his orbital – you know, he messed Fulkerson up. Really ruined. Yeah, and then ruined. I mean, we had no chance after that. I mean, took out one of our best players right before the tournament starts.
Yeah, and Galloway, if he had made two catches at dropping his Florida last year, that game might have been a little bit closer. Do you remember that big drop he had on fourth down last year?
Yeah, and it was the very next game when Valus Jones, moved in front of him on the depth chart, and we never looked back. Because he started
even in the second half Saturday.
Yeah,
I don't know if Keaton can get it done.
Russ has kind of been, I wouldn't say down on him, but thinks that if he was going to show anything, he already would have already. I'm more of a mind that. You know, what's Ramel? Redshirt sophomore now? Is this his third year?
I think he's a
senior.
No,
he's a redshirt senior, isn't he?
Yeah.
No. Ramel, he hadn't been here that long.
He was here a year before Harrison Bailey because they played together in high school.
Well, they're going to have to find another home run hitter in there because, you know, they're probably trying to double team Hyatt now, and Bruce McCoy is probably the guy that's going to have to deliver.
How do you feel so far with Brew, Phil? Do you feel like it was pretty good?
I think he's got a lot of potential, but we really haven't made him a showcase yet, and this would be the game to do it. You're going to have to do it, especially if Tillman don't play.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Wow, you guys are right. He's a fourth year. This is a senior. He'll have another – I mean, he'll have a COVID year, but, yeah, he is listed as a senior. Ramel Keaton.
Well, I mean, he was a gump recruit, wasn't he?
Yeah. But now I really thought that because he played at that big boy level down in Georgia, and his high school film looked incredible. I know it's high school, but he had a big catch the other night, and hopefully he'll be able to step up, maybe, you know, change the narrative around what his career has been so far at Tennessee.
It will be interesting to see if they put the – who's the guy that the guy from Alabama? He's got the cool name, Squirrel White.
Yeah.
If he's integral part of our offensive game plan, and also kick returns, because we're not getting anything out of it with Flowers returning punts.
Nah, and you know, like if Squirrel White was playing at you know Alabama or Florida or several other SEC schools, he'd be the one back there.
Yeah.
Because if you give him a sliver of daylight, he can go coast to coast with it.
Well, we were talking earlier. The key to this game, Tennessee can't afford to have a punt blocked. I mean, that's we
have to play a clean game.
Yeah, because usually when Florida beats us, they always win the special teams. Also, can't afford it this time.
That it feels like a running game.
In the game.
Typically.
All right, guys, get off here. See boss man taking time off again. I don't understand it. I mean,
he's the third base coach. His son has a game tonight.
Oh, got a baseball game?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Very impressive.
Russell coaching? Yeah. Really impressive.
Yeah. Wow. No wonder he's been so high and mighty here lately. You know what? See ya.
Well, on that note, we will take our first break of the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll be right back with more after this. The drive rages on a Florida Tuesday. Marcus, let's go back to the busy, busy phone lines of Big Orange Phillies hotline and talk to Senior City. Senior, how are we doing today, sir?
Hola, amigos. How are you all doing on this great Tuesday?
Hanging in. Antsy, ready for the game to get here.
Well, Phil took a little bit of my talking points because he was right on the money. I feel like this is always a game that special teams either comes up short or comes up big. So I agree with him. I think we got to be really, really cautious. I really feel like they're going to target our punter and try to get a block punt early. So I hope we got that squared away. But you know, the interesting thing about this game is it always makes legends one way or the other. You can go back over the years in this series, and you can think of the famous plays or players that either make or break this series for the better.
Yeah, I mean, we've joked about it. Good buddy of ours, Beano Jeff Henderson, talks about, you know, he refers to it as the Cape Neyland effect. And we launch first-year coaches' careers over there. So hopefully we will not do that this year. It would be nice to finally take a first-year Florida coach, hang an L around his neck and send him on out of town.
Barry, let me ask you this. Those two guys that recently got kicked off the team for hitting people off the field instead of on it, do we get those scholarships back and are we able to use them immediately? How does that work?
I have no idea, to be totally honest with you. I've never even thought about that.
Well, if you can do a little research on that. Listen, two scholarships are two scholarships.
Both scholarship players?
I believe they were. Now, somebody might call in and correct me, but I thought they were both on scholarship.
No, I will do some research. It will probably be tomorrow before I have an answer for you, but we will do our research.
Hey, last but not least, have you heard any rumor about game day coming in here and selecting Steve Spurrier to be the guest picker?
No. That probably would not go over real well. I don't know why they aren't going to do that. Where'd you hear that?
All right, well, that's been all over the internet. Of course, you know the internet never lies, but that's been the hot rumor going around. So, I was like you. I was thinking, man, that's a slap in the face to this fan base. But it wouldn't be the first time ESPN's done that.
I would think you'd be more likely to see – I've heard their first choice was the Queen, Dolly Parton.
That'd be awesome.
Not sure if she has the time to do it. I figured Peyton would be on the list. I saw somewhere online, I can't remember if it was one of the message boards or something, Johnny Knoxville. That would be incredible to have Mr.
Hey, going out the door, I heard you saying that W is the third base coach. I just wonder how those kids feel when they miss a signal from him I wonder what he does for punishment if they don't bunt or don't steal. So
I don't imagine it's pretty stiff. I mean, we're talking about, the pretty early level of baseball.
All right, man. Have a good rest of the show. Appreciate you guys taking my call.
Hey, appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, I'm trying to do some research real quick on those two players, find out if they are, in fact, scholarship. Savion Herring and...
Well, while you were doing that, I mean, the phone lines are popping. Always happens when the rest leaves.
I know.
Wonder what that says.
That they love us.
The rest is kind of standoffish. We're going to get Matt in here next. Matt, you were on the drive. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on? What's going on, guys?
Just making it. Just trying to get through this week.
I saw on Twitter that they did pick Spurrier because they said he was a Johnson City native and a Florida coach. I thought that was a done deal. I could be mistaken, though.
Okay, so I did look at it. The tweet that I found that was mentioning that was from a account, Richard G. West.
Yeah, no. Are you all referencing a calling in here with a Richard G. West reference?
I read it multiple places, not just from him.
If I know that he's posted that, that tells me that somebody somewhere saw his tweet, thought he was reliable, and have ran with it.
Can I change the subject from the Vols to the Titans and talk to young Marcus Young for a second?
Sure, have at it.
Let's do it.
Marcus, I've got some encouragement for you, buddy.
All right.
I am a Broncos fan.
Oh,
and
okay.
I would rather be in the Titans' shoes right now than the Broncos. Here's why. If I'm the Titans, you could just blow the whole thing up and get a good draft pick and start over. But as a Broncos fan, we're going to go 8-10 or 9 and whatever and maybe make the playoffs, maybe not. And we're tied for Russell Wilson and, like, our seat. We're going to be about 500. It's much better to be horrible or be the best than to be in the middle in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I agree. Being in the middle is not easy because that's what, except for, you know, when we had Mariota and the year we traded the first overall pick to the Rams, it felt like with Jeff Fisher, it just felt like we were constantly just in the middle of the pack. So I know what you mean. It's rough. The issue that I have is I don't think they're going to blow it up. That's the unfortunate part is I think we are going to probably have a new OC next season at the end of the season, which is too late in my opinion. And I really don't know if they're going to move on from Vrabel. I think he's obviously had winning seasons since he's been here. Makes you wonder if he just inherited a better team because of Robinson or if he's actually a half decent coach. It's hard to say. I will say for the Broncos' sake, though, to give you some hope, I really like the offense that you have together. If the coaching staff can put it together, that I don't. They need to move on from Gordon, but Williams is really good, and I like the receiving core. If they can mesh well with Wilson, and like I said, the coaching staff doesn't make dumb decisions.
It's just so depressing in 2022, year of our Lord, to turn on the game on Sunday and you're under center and you've got multiple tight ends. I mean, the Titans do it all the time.
I know.
It's so predictable. Like, get in the shotgun and throw it.
I agree. Well, and then they get in the shotgun when they need to run it on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1. And it doesn't add up. It
went down the goal line. I mean, they did it last night. They finally, they got it down there,
Yeah,
and then 4th and 1, and then
I couldn't believe it. Like, they were even saying on the TV, like, it's 4th and 1. Why are you in shotgun? I mean, he did score, but still, it's like,
I mean, you see it at every level now. It's just how football's. It's just how football is now.
Mm-hmm.
Those plays to Henry last night, though, those toss sweeps and those counters, like, they're so slow developing. I mean, it was just like, once he gets ahead of steam, that's when he's at his best, but they were just so slow developing and so predictable. It was mind-numbing.
Yeah, the sweeps can sometimes pull off with a guy of his size and speed. Like, obviously he's fast, but those are more for your kind of like the – quick backs that you have, like a Swift type of running back. He needs full head of steam. The other issue is even with Lawan, I don't know if I trust this offensive line. I do think the rookie right tackle, I can't think of his name off the top of my head at the moment, I think he is capable, but he definitely didn't play his best game against some grade A talent with Von Miller out there. And
well, I mean, the thing about it is you obsess all the time about this. It's unhealthy, the whole A.J. Brown thing. Oh. The bigger loss in the offseason, I thought, than A.J. was Saffold.
Yeah, and losing Saffold was big, but I was okay with cutting him if you were going to replace him properly, and they didn't. They went with Aaron Brewer, who I'm pretty sure even on the TV they said that he's like a very small offensive lineman. I think it's Brewer. Yeah, he's like, pull it up real quick. Yeah, Aaron Brewer is 6'1", 274 pounds. He's your left guard.
Yeah, that's shocking in today's NFL to have a guy that size.
Yeah.
Well, I will, I'll get out of here. The last thing I wanted to say before I do leave is I put together a spicy same game parlay if you guys are gamblers. Florida 17.5 and over 53. Is plus 100 on DraftKings right now, and I just do not see how those two things do not happen. I'll let you guys go.
Yeah. I don't.
I can't put money on this game because even if I consider it, if I go on to
Look, I watched all these guys we work with lose big money by thinking Florida was going to cover. And then Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee in garbage time screwed them. So, all right. I mean, we're going to keep them rolling here while we got them. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies hotline and grab Chris.
How you doing, buddy?
Yes. Hey, you think people would realize by now that Richard G. West is a troll account? And I'm sure people tweeted that out. But, yeah, they're not getting Steve Spurrier.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as you and said that, I looked on Twitter immediately, and that was the first tweet that popped up.
And they apparently Reese Davis kind of hinted today on one of the shows. I'm not sure it's one that they tried to get Dolly Parton to do it, but she was busy. So I don't know who it's going
to
be.
She got a lot of stuff to do between, you know, Dollywood, helping the children on planet Earth learn to read, and just being an angel here on Earth.
Yeah, but if she was on the set, she might actually be able to keep Lee Corso awake.
Oh, for sure. Everybody would have been awake. So,
but who I wish they would get. Of course, it's not going to happen. Two Tennessee boys, one from Knoxville, one that grew up in Chattanooga, Quentin Tarantino and Samuel L. Jackson, since they're good friends. Obviously, that would never happen, but that'd be pretty freaking cool.
That would be cool. I'm assuming it's going to be...
Morgan Wallen, that's another country singer.
I'd rather. I'm hoping it'll be Peyton. I know Russ has got his issues with Peyton right now. However bizarre that is, but I got a feeling it's going to be the sheriff will roll out there Saturday morning. So
some people want Bill Dance. I know his daughter-in-law and asked her today. She's her husband, Bill. Bill Dance's son has not told her anything about it, so I don't think he's doing it.
How old is Bill Dance now?
80-something. Got to be. I don't think he would do it even if they asked him to, but I know his daughter-in-law, and I texted her today. She said, well, if he's doing it, my husband, who's Bill Dance's son, Billy, has not told me anything about it, so it's not going to be him, barring unless they're just keeping the secret from her.
Yeah.
So my guess, it's not Dolly. I guess it'll be Peyton. Please, if they pull Kenny Chesney out there, I'm just going to turn it off.
Yeah, that would be an insult to this fan base after he's worn multiple other schools' jerseys in concert.
I just hope it's not. I mean, I'm fine with Morgan Wallen, but, you know, get something out of the country singer.
Yeah. I want Peyton. I want P-Funk up there. Peyton Manning himself, the sheriff. Got anything else for us, Chris?
No, I just can't wait till Saturday. My stomach's already jittery right now, and we're only on Tuesday. So.
Me too.
All right. Yeah, the show's much better when Russ is gone. You get more calls, like I said. See you.
You guys taking shots at my guy. Hey, Russ is a little verbose, sure, at times.
Yeah. Hey, he's the captain, though, you know? You have to. If you're the captain of a ship, you have to have some confidence to you. Even if it, you know, rubs some people the wrong way.
Hmm. I've had a communique from friend of the show saying he wouldn't be surprised if it's Bianca Belair, WWE Women's Champion.
Hmm. What if we get – see, my main concern is we're going to go with either a country music star, like we've talked about, or – like you mentioned Peyton, just a former player. There's got to be other good celebrities out there who are Vol fans, right?
Well, you got Julia Emery. She played Betsy Kettleman on Better Call Saul.
Oh.
Huge, crazy UT fan.
Really?
Yeah. We'll talk more about that. We're going to take our last break of the hour, and we will be right back with Geraldo Vol and the shocking conclusion to the drive coming up next on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back in, everyone. I'm kind of winding things down here on a Tuesday afternoon, Florida week. I do want to take time to mention tomorrow is another free window tent Wednesday brought to you by G&J Auto Graphics. Sign up to win free window tinting. Can go to fanrunradio.com to register. So it's a hell of a deal. And we were going to jump right back to the phone lines, Big Orange Philly Hotline and grab a call from Geraldo Vall. Geraldo!
Hello!
How are you, sir?
Hello. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're just, you know, kind of hanging in there. It's just a Florida week, man.
So what happened to Russ? So I just got off of work. I haven't been able to listen. Did he already start his nature walk? Did he just go ahead and just decide to wander out into the woods and we won't see him again until next week? Is that what?
No.
I imagine that's what happened.
No. He had his son's baseball game. Was in the 5 o'clock hour today. And Marcus and I cut him loose so he could get over there to see it.
Figured we'd be nice.
Well, family is important. Family is important. So we're discussing right now who could be the guest picker.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a dark horse candidate, I think, that is actually very possible. I think Bianca Belair, who is the WWE Women's Champion, she is a UTK alumni. And she has that connection now with Pat McAfee, who is now part of College Game Day.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was doing College Game Day now.
How cool would it be if she, like, power bombed?
That would be cool.
I don't even know who's on it. Is Desmond still on it? That tells you something. Who's on it besides Corso?
It's Kirk Herbstreit. Is it Rhys Davis? Is that his name?
That sounds good. Correct. I'm trying to pull up the lineup.
Or is Rhys Davis the guy who got replaced? Like, basically, like the guy that's actually in charge. But then there's Desmond Howard. Sometimes that loser from Georgia,
David Pollock.
Pollock is on there.
Old neck brace guy.
He's on there. I wish he would wear his neck brace on College Game Day from time to time. Who else? And then I guess Pat McAfee.
Chris Fowler, does he still do it?
No. So he was the one that used to do it. Now it's Rhys Davis. That's it.
Okay. Gotcha. I mean, take your pick there. Anybody besides Coach Corso, I'd be down with what's her name, Bianca? Bianca Belair?
Yeah, I would love for her to powerbomb David Pollock. That would make my day. Yeah.
Oh, and watch them have to strap him on a backboard and carry him out of there.
Now I'll be honest with you guys. Like, I'll turn on College Game Day, but I don't pay attention to it that much. I really do enjoy watching SEC Now or Nation or whatever that one, the SEC version of it. I really like that one a lot better.
Just to be brutally honest with you, I haven't watched any of them.
That one's pretty good because, like, they're actually talking about teams that I care about and, like, have more relevance to Tennessee. Whereas College Game Day, you can expect them to talk about football for the first 20 minutes. Then they're going to do two of the most horrible stories to talk about, like, in terms of making you feel horrible about just the world and everything that's going on. They'll talk about that for about 2 hours. And then they'll do picks at the end.
Yeah. Honestly, the last time I really cared about College Game Day was actually when it was last here in Knoxville in 2016. It wasn't 2016, was it? Or was it 20?
What year? I think it's 2016.
Yeah, that may have been the last time I actually cared. I know I went to the one with Dooley when both us and Florida were ranked. I think that was 2012. Yikes. So I actually went to that one. It's not the same that it used to be. They're trying to make it more interesting. But like you said, I mean, besides Lee Corso picking teams and wearing mascot helmets, which has kind of lost its luster.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for the game.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good thing in terms of, you know, especially for the school and our team to get the recognition. I think that's really, really good. I think it's a good thing to promote us, right? Like, this is basically a 3-hour commercial promoting Tennessee, and I think that's a good thing. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, and not only do you have College Game Day, but you got Josh Pate coming in town. as well, friend of the show. You've got
Buster. But he will be, speaking of Josh Pate, he will be on the drive tomorrow afternoon.
Fantastic.
Ooh, humble
brag. Yeah. And then we also got, you know, Barstool with Busting with the Boys. Apparently they're coming into town for a tailgate as well. So you've got a lot of big names coming to Knoxville for a big game. And, yeah, like you said, I think more than anything, this just is a way to, especially for recruiting, be like, hey, all these big live TV stuff that's coming, that travels across the country, they're coming to Knoxville because of how good we're playing right now and how big of a game we've got coming up this week.
I mean, we went from 16 months ago, the depth of our program, to College Game Day and the all college football descending on Knoxville. I think that tells you how good of a job Josh Heupel has done, and I hope that that continues after Saturday. Gentlemen, I want to ask you this question, then I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Who has more pressure on them going into this game? Because, I mean, we're talking about literally all eyes on Tennessee, Knoxville. Is it us or is it Florida? I feel like it's still Florida that has all the pressure on them, not necessarily us. I love you guys. Have a great day.
The pressure's on Tennessee. You win one out of 17. It's time for us to get this monkey off our back.
First of all, love you too, Geraldo. Second, yeah, I think I agree. I think it's still on Tennessee because we've just had this mental block that they've given us for so many years, and we are the better team. We're better than them at quarterback, at receivers. They might have the edge at running back, but I think if we just, like you said, get that monkey off our back, I don't think there's any doubt that we can show Florida how good we are and how good we're going to be.
It would go a long way towards reaching the goals that we all want to reach this year. But let's go ahead and get Jamie in here. He will be our final caller of the day. Not surprised. Jamie usually waits when Russell takes off. That's kind of like his
MO.
Yeah. He'll roll in here and ambush me. But go ahead, Jamie. How are you, sir?
Good. Guys, I guess let me get this out of the way. I'm in love with you guys. I guess that's the new thing to say.
I'm not sure how comfortable I am with all that, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
I mean, you know, funny things happen when your football team doesn't suck anymore. We all got a little love in our hearts, man. Let it out. Got to let that love out, man.
Let's beat me to the punch there, Jamie. I was going to say the same thing.
Guys, yesterday I pontificated on my Vols, man. I've just got that feeling that it all goes back to one thing, guys. I feel like we have a football coach. I mean, you know, a football coach who's competent, who's not arrogant, who's not afraid to learn, and we've seen every kind here to see what kind of football coaches don't work. And I just think we've got one, man. I just, I think it's our chance, you know. And looking down the road long term, you know, I just see us never, you know, getting one-sided on any of these games ever again. I think once we get this program up and running under Heupel, that we begin to become competitive in these big series, and we start to win some of these games. I just feel that way. I've said it, you know. Sure, Georgia has a better recruiting ground. Sure, Alabama has the best football coach in the history of football. But, I mean, we're not Mississippi State. You know, if Texas A&M can sneak up and beat Alabama, as bad as they suck, you know, surely we can too. So,
what it boils down to is, and we talked about this after the hire, was that if he can come in here and get his offense up and running – with this offense, we're never really out of a game, barring, right now Alabama and Georgia, who are just head and shoulders above everybody else in the country on talent disparity and just across the board. but you know, you're never really out of a game, and it's an entertaining. And that was the one thing. It, you know, the losing was bad enough the past, you know, 10 to 12 years, but just the almost zero level of entertainment in watching Tennessee play football. And I feel like with this high flying offense, it's exciting to watch. It's fun to watch on TV or there in person in Neyland or wherever they're playing. So I think the future looks really, really bright for Tennessee.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing the defense take another step this Saturday, and you know, maybe shut guys like me up that Tim Banks is a competent Southeastern Conference defensive coordinator. And I'd like to see that, you know, the things that kind of take care of themselves when you start winning, I'd like to see those start happening with some more championship level recruits start to look this way, you know, both offense and defensively, especially in the trenches.
Yeah.
Looks like we're going to have to stop gap with some portal guys because Hopple just, he can't go into year three with true freshmen and, you know, at any of those down lineman spots on either side of the ball and just expect to do any good. But
Jamie, I did notice when the young guys, and I, granted it was second half of the Akron game, it was a blowout. I did like some of the stuff I saw out of the, you know, some of the young guys when they got in there, hyper aggressive, flying around, and it just didn't seem like there was that same huge drop off that there has been in the past few years. So, we got a lot to look forward to. Future looks bright and incredibly bright. You know, we've talked about it before on the show. The athletic department as a whole, we've got the hottest coach in college baseball, one of the hottest teams. We've got a Hall of Fame basketball coach. Before you get started, Jamie, yes, he's got to get over that March hump. But, I mean, won the SEC tournament first time in almost 50 years. A lot to be happy and excited and enthused about Tennessee athletics. And, I mean, it wasn't always like that the past 10 years.
No, you're right. You're right, Bear. And you won't catch me ripping on Barnes in Florida Week when we're picked as a 10-point favorite. I, right now, everything's glorious to me over there on the hill. So, guys, it's the first. I'll get out of the way. It's the first time in quite a while that I'll be living and dying on the game on Saturday. Usually, when we hire a bum, I go ahead and just cash it in until he's fired, and don't really get my hopes up for games like this because it hurts too much. And you already know. Even in 2016, that was just fool's gold. So just to let y'all know, I'll be living and dying with every snap of the ball Saturday, something I've not been able to do as a Tennessee fan for several years. I just can't pretend when I care as much about it as I do, I'm not going to pretend that we're competitive when we're not. It's kind of like being a Cincinnati Reds baseball fan. You know, I'll be damned if I'm going to give a crap if they're not. So I'm back to we'll see what it's like on Saturday, and hopefully it's crossroads, man. I know we've got three more days to talk about it, so I'll get back in. It's good talking to y'all. Hey, by the way, on the way out, can picture Russ in a baseball uniform over there with big jaw full of chow, big mouth full of chow. Y'all hang in there.
Well, that'll do it for us. You got Overtime with Jake Miller coming up next. For Marcus and Russell, this is Bear signing off. We will see you all tomorrow at 3 p.m. sharp.